Welcome to the SBCN podcast, a production of the Small Business Community Network, brought to you by Brad Poulos, small business coach, entrepreneurship professor, and author of the Small Business Operator's Manual, a guide to running your small business profitably.
Everyone, it's Linda Ockwell-Jenner here, co-founder of the Small Business Community Network, with another SBCN Small Biz podcast. I'm delighted to be chatting to another Brit like myself, Ashley Griffin, who is a network specialist and founder of Griffcom Inc. And he's also one of the newest members of the SBCN. So I'm so happy that we could chat to him today to find out a bit more about him. Hi, Ashley.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
I'm doing really, really well, thank you. I'm happy that the snow is winding down because it's quite nasty this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, our road seems to have had drifts of like 3 and 4 feet.
Wow, that's amazing. The good thing, though, about technology today, we can still carry on working wherever we are in the world. And I think you are the expert on that, aren't you, Ashley?
I'd like to think I'm the expert, but I'm as good as the weakest link.
I love you because you're so humorous and you take everything with a pinch of salt. So listen, first of all, I'd like to know a little bit more about your business, Griffcom, and when you decided to become a business owner.
So Griffcom Inc. was founded at the end of 2016 in Canada. However, I've been in that industry doing that job. My first commercial invoice was 1994.
Wow.
Now, that was in the UK. I had been in computers before the PC, or the like what would be the IBM PC, was being retail sold. So I started with the Atari ST and the Commodore Amiga.
That's amazing, Ashley. So we're going back. What year was this?
That would have been the mid to late 80s.
So Dave could obviously understand where you're coming from. I recognise some of the names. This is going to be an interesting story. Carry on.
So I was writing game reviews or some reviews for magazines. I did some software programming. That industry ended probably in the very early 90s as the PCs started to kind of get a foothold. I actually worked for Dell in the UK. Now, this is a bit ambiguous because I cannot find any history with Dell in the UK in 89. They definitely had a factory there because I was working in it. That's when the 286 and the 386s were coming around. From there, my oldest brother is a software developer. He kind of cottoned on to me to do some help with, in fact, it was setting networks up. So it was very small networks to help him, or he would develop software on those networks as a project, so I would set them up. Of course, you're going back before the internet was invented, so you couldn't just type in, like, how do I set a network up?
Yeah.
And I remember questions, you know, being classic IT, the network guy who was the database owner in that company would look at me and say, how do I get a list of names out of this database? I'm like, yeah, I do networks. I have no idea what you're on about.
Yeah, that is so funny. You're taking us back quite a long time. Do you think all this experience, which you're going to share some more with us in a minute, but do you think all this experience and starting at the very beginning, so to speak, helps people like you in business because, you know, your clients trust you?
Yes and no. It definitely helps in business because I understand where the technology came from and why it's at the position it is now. Clients, I mean, if they're in their 30s, really don't care. So, like, it's an in-joke now. Well, I remember the days of Windows 95, you know, it's safe to turn your PC off.
Yeah.
I've bumped into guys that said to me, that showed me a meme with that on it. And I'm like, oh, no, that was real. And he went, really? I thought that was a joke. I'm like, no, that's like a real image.
That's funny.
So, like, nowadays, I don't know. I would like to say yes,
mm-hmm.
because it shows that they're willing to believe you have experience.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I think it really depends on the person standing in front of you as to what does he deem as experience.
Okay, so let's jump forward again. Continue your story, because it's quite interesting.
So I had moved, due to family issues, I had moved out of the UK in 2009 to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Pre that, early 2000s, I was the network administrator in a company of 300 people. I'd organise, updating all the laptops and then find out there aren't many of them, but apparently aren't many of them was 100.
Okay.
So I'd have to organise, they're going away to the Midlands, and I'd go to the Midlands with all these PCs and printers to organise their upgrade, and had 48 hours to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I then moved to Canada because there wasn't really anything left in the UK. I was working for an IT company here, doing basically very similar, but seeing that business augment very slowly to the argument between on-premise and cloud. And that problem of the security of who owns the data, do they know where it is? So
okay.
From there, I started to invent some technology. There was an issue in the company I was working in, and my lawyers advised me to leave that company.
Okay.
So I left it, and then I created Griffcom.
Interesting. So then that was quite a risk, wasn't it? Because I know there are so many businesses out there, small, medium, large, but you were starting a business in a new country, and you wouldn't have that regular paycheck. So did you feel nervous at all?
Yeah. And in fact, with family issues that still progress to today,
mm-hmm.
it's a really stupid idea.
Oh, no. I'm sure you don't mean that, because...
No, it's highly dangerous because, as you said, there's no security net.
No.
You really are kind of, and I'm in this boat now of like, how do you make money? How do you progress?
Interesting.
Unfortunately, you're not going to get anywhere by not doing anything.
Exactly. So yes.
You've got to work out what your niche is, where you are, how you do it, and what's the best way of deploying that to make money. In the industry you're in, and really, to be fair, in the place you're in as well.
Yeah.
Because it changes from place to place.
You have actually done exactly what you are sharing with our listeners that would be a good idea for them to do.
If you cross T and dot I and are very sure, you've got to be very sure on what you're doing, then generally speaking, it will work, because the people paying you money have to trust that they know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they can trust you know what you're doing, generally speaking, you're generally okay. And I'll be honest, even though I've said what I've said, not one of my clients has ever questioned any bill.
That's amazing. That's really good. Now, for our listeners, why you know why that is. So can you share with our listeners why there is? It's twofold or even threefold, isn't it, really?
Yeah. The primary one is fairness. So it's, there are certain jobs that I've done. I'll give a brief example. Server migration.
Mm-hmm.
That can take me 24 hours to do. You're not going to get away with billing 24 hours. So you've kind of got to write down, and what I do is I write down, started at 10 p.m. Sunday, ended 10 p.m. Monday, and then I actually have the word adjusted. But that bill may be 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
And what I've done is I've listed down the specific steps I've done. So what I'm saying to the client is, like, I was on I was technically running around looking at your server for 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
But I may have only been sitting down and doing work for 4 or 5 hours of that.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and you're in a gray area here because it's like, well, I didn't charge you out of hours, but some of this stuff I did at 4 in the morning. But then they probably weren't that worried. They were aware of it. I've had the odd client say, did it really take 24 hours? I'm like, yeah. And if there was a problem, you'd have ended up with a bill for 12 hours because there was a problem.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'd have documented that. So a lot of it is fairness, but then that client has already got to know that when he gets the bill, he can see, yeah, 24 hours, you definitely weren't sitting there, but yeah, that looks reasonable.
Of course, yeah, fairness, I like it. Honesty, yeah.
Yeah, honesty and fairness. And
yeah,
that is the top of my agenda almost every single time I write down. And I've looked, and sometimes, you know, I've been on a site and I'm talking, and you know how that works, being
Yeah.
And I've walked off and I'm like, really, hour and a half, I changed the toner. So I've had to put in, okay, I did a phone call, half an hour. So it's adjusted. Yeah, I burnt an hour and a half, but I wasn't working for them for an hour and a half.
Mm.
So it's fairness.
Fairness, honesty. Then,
yeah, honesty. But the client is very aware that you know what you're doing.
Also, and this probably is an English expression, I don't know, you're not taking them for a ride. You're not trying to pull wool over their eyes. You are saying, I work for 24 hours, but I'm only charging you for this, and you give them the reasons. And if I may be so bold, I would say that is how you built up your loyal client base, because the word spread that you are honest, trustworthy, credible, and you know what you're doing.
Yeah, our office, we have an office in Brantford, and technically that's in one of our clients, and they only did that because he said to me, I don't want you disappearing.
Good.
So good. He's like, we'll give you an office down here because you've got a reason to come down here. Yeah, you are right. And yes, yeah, so I still use a lot of the British isms, like throwing toys out of prams and people looking blankly.
We are bad, aren't we? Getting back to your success, your success story. I have heard a lot of people say the same thing as you, that in this day and age, you know, let's take the BlackBerry phone, for instance, which was made here, RIM Research in Motion. A lot of people who are quite young don't know what that is. So, you know, that's an example of how technology changes really fast, and it's revolving all the time. But I think in your case, because you found the right target market and the people of maybe a different generation who needed your services, that's what made you successful, because you know exactly who your clients are. And this is for the listeners out there. Everybody can't be your client, can they?
No, you really do. You, and the best way of doing that, and it's a bit of, I'm going to use a cliche here, you've got to be yourself, because you don't have to act if you're being yourself. Now, you're probably going to want to round off some of the edges, but if you're yourself, it means that you don't have to concentrate to be someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting.
So if you're yourself, you generally, the clients that you find will generally not leave because they like the person you are or the way you work.
Yeah, I believe that's true. And also another way to look at this is, for instance, when I go to a mall to shop and there's, say, 5 or 6 different stores selling shoes, not one of the people who are, you know, the people who work in the shoe stores, they can't expect me to choose, you know, their shoes without me trying them on or knowing what I'm looking for. So I think, again, what your success is down to, again, a big way, is you were noticed or found the right clientele who needed your services and didn't make the mistake of going to, say, the young generation who you feel don't need your services and saying, this is what I've got to offer. So you chose your clients, whereas with me, I go in lots of different shoe stores And nobody gets annoyed if I don't choose, you know, their shoes. And I might walk away without buying any shoes because it doesn't suit me. But I know I'm looking for shoes. In your case, technology today, and because you don't especially work, I'm not very techy, but you don't especially work in the cloud a lot. Maybe you do a little bit, but your clients don't want to work with you in the cloud, do they? So again, yeah, you've chosen the right people who know that you can do the job for them. You know, this is a longer conversation than we can have today, but I'd love to talk more about, again, the ins and outs of what you offer your clients. But would you say, though, that you are relatively happy now that you found your niche, especially in Canada, and you've got the ball rolling? Would you say that you're relatively happy, you know, operating your own business?
I'm definitely happier doing what I do as long as what I do is bringing money in to live. Yeah.
Of course, yeah. Because I can repay our bills.
I have to admit, even the long hours, it can be long hours. I'm definitely happier because it gives me freedom to research and choose what I do and don't want to sell.
And I love that about you, Beach. You're a consistent. You're always learning something new. You're always looking to the future. This is why you're still in business. If you could give, you know, because people still want to get into the technology field, IT, whatever, you know, I'm not very techy, doing what you do or not. If you could give some advice to our listeners who are a little bit younger and they want to start their own business, what words of wisdom could you offer them?
Don't cut any corners.
Ooh, I love that.
So that means that if as a brief example here, if they want to learn software development, don't go using a framework like WordPress.
No.
Want to do software development, learn PHP, but go and look at why did PHP come around? Who invented that?
So you're being very specific with that because, as I say, I've heard of WordPress and I've heard of PHP. So that's a really good tip to leave with those people who might want to get into this kind of business. Ashley, I think you are wonderful. And I can see quite a few more of these podcasts coming up because not only do I want to know exactly why, you know, your customers, your clients don't really want to be in the cloud. I think it's a weird name, the cloud, but there you go. But also I want to talk more about PHP and WordPress, because that's a really good topic at the moment. So I hope you're available when we're ready to do some more podcasts. You've been an absolutely lovely guest. I can't thank you enough. And it's family day here in Ontario. So I hope I didn't disturb you.
No, it's all good my end. And as you say, you can't do much because it's white outside.
It is. So listen, that was a really lovely conversation. So to all our listeners, listen to what this man's got to say, because he knows a lot. He's very techie, but he explains it in a really great way. So we'll chat again, Ashley, sometime. You have a lovely day.
Thank you very much, and have a good week. We'll speak soon.